Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Cyient Limited Q1 FY22 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Krishna Bodanapu, MD and CEO, Cyient Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, and good evening, everybody. Welcome to Cyient Limited's earnings call for the first quarter of financial year 2020. I'm Krishna Bodanapu, Managing Director and CEO of Cyient. Present with me on this call are Mr. Ajay Aggarwal, Executive Director and Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Karthik Natarajan, Executive Director and Chief Operating Officer. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. A detailed statement in this regard is available in our investor update, which has been emailed to you and is also posted on our website. This call will be accompanied with an earnings call presentation. Details of the same have already been shared with you. With this, let me take you through the highlights for the first quarter. In US dollar terms, we posted revenue of $143.5 million, which is a growth of 9.9% year-on-year and a degrowth of 4.2% on a quarter-on-quarter basis and 4.3% in constant currency. In rupee terms, we posted quarterly revenue of 1,058.2 crore or $105.82 million. This signifies a growth of 6.7% year-on-year and a degrowth of 3.2% on a quarter-on-quarter basis. Services revenue stood at $119.3 million, which signifies a growth of 6.3% YoY and essentially flat on a Q-on-Q basis. Group EBIT margin stood at 13.1% for the quarter, which was up by 797 basis points compared to the last year and 48 basis points quarter-on-quarter. I'd like to highlight that this is the highest we have seen EBIT in the last 6 years. Free cash flow generated stood at INR 184 million or 84.8 crores, a conversion of 43.6% on EBITDA or 73.7% on PAT. PAT stood at 1,150 million or 115 crores for the quarter. This was a growth of 41.3% year-on-year and 4% quarter-on-quarter. Coming to the other highlights for the quarter, and I'll just hit upon them very quickly. On John Deere, we were given a partner-level status in achieving supplier excellence. For 2020, this is the company's highest supplier rating, and John Deere is an important customer that we believe holds tremendous growth potential for us this year and beyond, and therefore is a very important recognition for us. We signed and announced a large deal with HMLR, which is Her Majesty's Land Records, which is the nodal agency for managing land information in the United Kingdom. And we have been given a long-term contract to manage this data, and we had partnered with Esri and Xerox on this project for software and system integration work. We're also proud that on the NASSCOM R&D Showcase for 2021, we won 4 awards, and we won the awards across a spectrum of opportunities. We won for social impact, we won for Engineer in India Product of the Year, and we also won for Service Delivery Excellence of the Year. So it's a great reflection of the quality of delivery that we've built and the competence of the organization that we've created, which I'm also happy to say is translating into good opportunities and into good customer engagement. To continue on and to highlight some of the digital type of investments that we've made, which are quite significant this quarter, we launched the an innovation platform. This is a platform that focuses on IP-driven solutions between our ecosystem and the company. And it's also a way forward to raise the innovation coefficient index and attract top talent, especially for new technologies, including digital kind of technologies. We also launched SIOPS, which is the Cyient Outage Planning and Scheduling Solution. Again, a great example of the type of work that we're doing in the digital sphere in helping our clients manage their assets, in this case, utility companies, manage their assets better, especially through outage planning, scheduling, and so on and so forth. And this is also a platform that is gaining significant amount of traction with our utility clients, which is a key growth area for this year and the year ahead. We launched the first sustainability report, including the sustainability goals for 2025. Obviously, sustainability is a very important aspect that Cyient is quite committed to. Our clients are equally committed to, and therefore, we're very proud that we're one of the first companies that have done the sustainability report, i.e. where we stand, but also have laid out some audacious goals in terms of where we want to be with sustainability, including being carbon neutral by 2025. Lastly, we also have a new gender neutral parental leave policy. Again, a very important element of engaging better with our associates. Again, the implication of this, we believe, has long-term benefits and also will position Cyient very attractively to the younger workforce, much of whom will go into some of the newer technologies, into the areas of solutions, digital, and so on and so forth. And it becomes quite appealing for people to come and join Cyient. And we're one of the first companies in the world to do something like this. We believe there is a fairly significant commitment, both financially and also operationally, but we've evaluated the risk reward, and we are very proud that we've launched this last week. With this, I will now hand over the call to Ajay, who will take you through the detailed financial performance for the quarter. Ajay, over to you.
Thank you, Krishna. Good evening and greetings to all of you. In terms of the revenue, as Krishna said, our revenue has been $143.5 million. In terms of services, we are at 6.3. What I would like to highlight here is that, you know, while overall the aerospace continues to be, looking at what is happening in the world around us, continues to have some challenges. If you look at our growth for the 6%, it's close to 15% for the non-aero division. And DLM has grown by 31.7%. Whatever is the revenue for the quarter is in line with our internal estimates, where we were expecting that, you know, this quarter is going to be a bit seasonal for it. And the group growth has stood at about 9.9%. I would say when you look at quarter-on-quarter numbers, services is flat. We were looking at internally a little bit better, but after COVID, we did get a little bit impact on our services growth because of the availability of people, but we tied over that, and June we have really clocked something better than normal kind of revenue, and you will show it, you will see that going forward. Also, I am saying that, you know, if you look at our year-on-year numbers and some of the trajectory from that, you will see that most of them are growing in double digits. I think that's what we are looking at as a trajectory for the particular, portfolio of businesses that we have. In terms of the income statement, I would like to call upon in terms of the margin that we have done, and let me spend a few minutes on that. This margin, as Krishna said, for quite some time is one of the highest, and we are getting very close to, you know, our aspiration of about 15% margin in services in the short and medium term. So we are very close to that. And overall for the group, we are at 13.1%. In DLM, we have generated about 6%, where you will see there is a scope for improvement in the coming quarter. Just to give a little color around it, we have given the wage hikes during this particular period. We have phased it out, as we said in the earlier earnings call, between quarter one and quarter two. But almost two-thirds of the wage hike has already been taken care in quarter one. The total impact, I think, we have seen is got mitigated by good improvement in the operational efficiencies. Also in terms of our SG&A as well as the absorption, there have been benefits. On the profit after tax, I would say that, you know, we have really got a nice margin of about 10.9% net profit margin, which is again, I think is moving very nicely. And we feel that, you know, we can sustain these kind of levels. And year on year, if you see, we also had in quarter one of previous year about 51 crore of, you know, export-related incentives. So if I take that out, because that's a one-off in the current, you know, the way things are looking on some of the incentives for the services, our growth on PAT is almost like 70% year-on-year. And if you look at our operating profit growth also, I think that's also almost 170% year-on-year. So I think on the profit side, I think we are really doing well. Good improvement in margin, good increase in both from the operating profit as well as EBIT perspective, as well as from the profit after tax perspective. I'll comment about other income and hedging later, but in terms of the tax also, you will see there is a marginal increase, but we are in line with whatever outlook we had given for the full year, and we had anticipated that some of the SEZs which are coming into the different tax brackets, they will bring quarter on quarter the tax down. But overall for the year, we will be within those tax norms. Just to give you a sense of, you know, the bridge, 13.6% is for the services, which has gone to 14.6. 176 is the merit increase impact and operational improvements, as well as the SG&A spend. Excuse me. Has been the drivers of this particular margin improvement. And we are confident as we further grow during the year and as we move, we will continue to, you know, sustain these operational parameters and this level of, you know, the cost structure. However, going forward, we will also continue to make certain investments as we continue to get some benefit from the currency. As well as from the growth, the margin improves. Yeah, can we go to the next one? In terms of the cash generation, we have generated, you would see, cash of cash generation total at a conversion rate of about 50% for the services. And we are on track to deliver the overall 65% to 70% cash generation. And this 863 crore, while it is lower quarter on quarter and quarter one of last year, will get, you know, there is few cases of collections which have right shifted. And you will see both for H1 and for the full year, we will be, you know, ensuring that whatever is the cash conversion we have committed, we will achieve. This quarter, we did have a little bit of flat or marginally negative free cash flow in DLM. So you will see, you know, the collections coming back, and that will also be a fairly positive number in line with the expectations. And we are looking at least 50% cash conversion in DLM. With this, I would like to hand over to Karthik, and if any questions on this, I will look forward to the Q&A session.
Sure, thanks Ajay. Good evening everyone. I hope all of you are safe and healthy. And I just want to give a little more color on the BU performance. And if you look at the left-hand side top chart, the rightmost column, which is on the year-on-year, the aerospace continues to have challenges. We talked about we have hit the bottom a couple of quarters ago, but the growth is not coming in a hurry. And as we guided earlier, we are seeing a U-shaped recovery and not a V-shaped recovery. And the good news is we have seen a growth of 2% in Q1 as compared to Q4 of financial year 21. But the year-on-year still continues to be a challenge with about negative growth of 11.5%. And as far as the communication and utilities are concerned, and communication has set a new benchmark in terms of the revenue for Q1. This is the highest ever that we have done from communication side. This continues to grow for the last three quarters, and we see this continuing for the rest of the year as well. And the utilities business, which had some challenges in the previous two quarters, has come back to see a growth, and we expect this to continue for the rest of the year as well. and the portfolio of business where two out of this six sectors have had some one-off issues, and we hope this is behind us by the time we start getting into Q2. And the good news is the transportation, which is essentially impacted by aerospace, and the rail has grown by 17%. Overall, it's showed a degrowth of minus 3.6%. Communication and utilities at 16.8%, and the portfolio at 9.6%, and with a cumulative number of 6.3% for services part. And at the group level, we have shown a slight short of 10% for the year on year. And the key thing I also want to highlight is we won about four large deals in the Q1 of fiscal 22. And the interesting one is three from services and one from DLF. I'll provide more color on it as we go through the next set of slides. The order intake, which is the orders that we received in the last quarter, is up by 20% as compared to Q1 of fiscal 21. And this gives us confidence that the demand is robust, and we hope to achieve on our commitments that we made in the last quarter. We go to the little more a deep dive on each of the segments, and to start off with communication and utilities, and this has delivered the 2% sequential growth. What is driving the growth is essentially the broadband, the fixed wireless, 5G, private LTE. I think this demand is still robust across, and also led by technology transformation, whether it is intelligent network design or the network transformation. I think these are the ones which are driving growth for us. We continue to see this growing at double digit for this financial year too. And the green networks, which is some of the interesting concept few of our customers are trying to venture out, is essentially creating the network which are sustainable and environment friendly. And that's going to be something that we'll see that as a common theme across many of the operators that we work with. And 5G, which contributes about 10% of our revenue portfolio, continue to see a robust growth across North America as well as the Asia-Pacific regions. Utilities has seen a growth of 4.4%, and we expect this growth momentum to continue for the rest of the year. And we do see that this will grow double-digit as compared to last year. And some of the projects that we executed as part of a major transformational program and essentially deploying a cloud-native next-generation spatial information system and a system integration project. I think this gives us confidence that the technology-led growth in utilities would drive sustained growth for a few more quarters. Come to transportation, and this has seen a 0.5% growth as compared to the last quarter, but the challenge that we talked about is still continuing. And the key thing I want to highlight is the rail part of the transportation will see a growth in this year, and due to the increased spend in the infrastructure projects. As far as the commercial aerospace is concerned, the domestic travel has come back to about 65-70% of 2019. The international traffic is only at 40% of 2019, so that continues to be a challenge. And the interesting one is about the spend coming back on the aftermarket and MRO, which is driving the growth in aerospace. We want to see how fast it can come back to the previous levels, but we are still hopeful that this will recover in the next 4 to 6 quarters. We're also looking at focused on embedded and aftermarket digital services, and as the segment is recovering, and we see that this is likely to see a demand for the next 4 to 6 quarters before the overall growth for the aerospace industry coming back to the previous levels. DLM, which has seen a one-off dip, and we still continue to hold on to what we committed earlier about 20% year-on-year growth for the full year. And this is backed by a strong order pipeline and backlog that we carry today. And this is also compounded with some of the opportunities we see for customers wanting to look at the supply chains being de-risked, not just for cost, but for risk. And that is creating newer opportunities for us, and along with what we call it as a make in India. Moving on to portfolio of services, and we expected this to be the growth sector for us across many of the segments that we are operating in. And medical, which continues to grow in double digit, and we are confident that this will continue the momentum for the rest of the year. We have announced a large deal about 2 quarters ago, and that's ramping up, and we continue to see momentum across embedded digital services, and our pipeline continue to be robust on digital transformation and design-led manufacturing services in medical. Automotive and off-highway, we are also conscious of some of the engagements and non-profitable projects, and we have taken some action on them in the last two quarters. So this has resulted in some dip, but we expect some of the growth to come back for the second half of this year, and which is driven essentially by supplier consolidation activities as well as the digitalization part of it. Semiconductor, which has again seen a degrowth as compared to last quarter, and this again we believe it's one-off, and we also had a good Q4 as we talked about it earlier. And the solution business, which is on the ASIC side, continue to see a significant recovery and post-pandemic. And we expect this segment to do a double-digit growth for this year. And we also launched a Lighthouse project along with IIT Hyderabad in terms of creating a 5G system-on-chip design. This is probably first of its kind from any Indian company which has taken end-to-end responsibility for a silicon design. The energy and industrial plant engineering, and this continues to see robust growth, and we expect it to be grown by the top accounts as part of this sector. And we also have announced large deals in the last two quarters, and we expect this to again grow by double digit for this year. Mining and natural resources, this witnessed degrowth in Q1, which is again, we believe it's a one-off, which is to do with Australia's COVID lockdowns that has happened. And Australia have been going into the lockdown and out of lockdowns for the last 12 months on an alternating basis. And we continue to see some challenges till Q1. And we hope that is behind us. We'll see a recovery in Q2. And with also a number of new logos that we won in this segment, about four of them in the last 6 months, I think that will continue to help us to grow this segment. Geospatial, where we announced a large deal last quarter, and the Q1 dip was more of a seasonality, and we expect the demand to come back, and we are also trying to bring in Geospatial as an horizontal offering that we can take it to many of the verticals like mining, communication, and utilities, and mostly using them as an horizontal service line to drive growth on applications as well as on the analytics areas. With that, I'll hand it over to Krishna for outlook for fiscal 22.
Thank you. Thank you, Karthik. If I may just summarize, I want to say that I will reiterate the commitment that we had made for the year. We continue to expect that we will grow in double digit in FY22 in services. And I'll say, we continue to be confident that we will grow in double digits in FY22 in services. From Q2 onwards, we will see some good growth coming in. We have the order backlog, and also the early signs of ramp ups and so on and so forth are already starting to happen, which means that Q2 is going to be a good quarter as we look at it. But also, more importantly, these are sustainable projects that we're doing right now. So it will also continue into the rest of the year. DLM will grow about 20%, as we had indicated at the beginning of the year. We also maintain that for the full year, we will improve margins by at least 200 basis points. And probably a tad better than that, given that even Q1, we've done a fairly decent job of improving the operating margin, and as a result, the PAT also. DLM will also improve at least 200 basis points. We also don't expect any export incentives this year. We also expect that the tax rate will be about 25-26%, which is not very different from the previous years. So in summary, I will say that it's been an expected start of the year. I think from a revenue perspective, like Ajay had mentioned, internally these were the numbers. Maybe there's a small gap, but that's because we also had some fairly significant COVID challenges in April and May, which are quite specific to our type of business, given some of the security issues, access to labs, and so on and so forth. Therefore, we had a little bit of a challenge in April, May. We've completely overcome that. June was the best month that we could have had. And even we were surprised on how well things have recovered and also recovered in a sustainable manner. So I can say with confidence that Q2 onwards will come back on revenue. And obviously on the operating profit, we have done what we need to do. We have made some changes structurally. And I also want to say that much of the salary increase was already factored into Q1. Over the last couple of years, we've done a phased salary increase, so not all salary increases happen at the same time. But given that a majority of the population does have salary increases in Q1, much of it is also factored in. There will be some more in Q2, but that's part of the plan. So with that, I will pause here, and we will turn it over for any questions that we are able to answer.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Sandeep Agarwal from Edelweiss Financial Service. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening to the management team. Wish you good health and congrats and on good execution. Krishna, I have one question. Given your very strong capability in this space and you are doing great business in all the areas of aerospace, medical, high tech for quite some time, and there is an immense amount of demand in that area, the lower growth in this quarter doesn't look to me led by demand challenge. It looks more like a supply side challenge, because and it is not anything wrong, because you know whole industry probably had taken has done a miscalculation last year when they started running very thin ventures on the assumption that the global economy will tank and all those things, and they never anticipated. No one anticipated actually that there will be such a sharp recovery. And because of that, those thin ventures are now coming to hunt, because suddenly there is a huge spike in demand and there is no supply. And particularly the piece of business you deal with also has a longer training period and has a specific skill set kind of requirement, which is not exactly comparable to IT services or normal software services. So I wanted to know, when do you see, if my understanding is right, that this growth is more because of supply side challenge rather than demand, and if that is right, then when do you see this challenge getting over? Because what I'm seeing today is that, you know, everyone, unfortunately, the industry has got into the race of poaching people from one another. And this problem can actually solve only when there is abundant supply of manpower. And that will only happen.
Sorry to interrupt you. Sir Sandeep, may I request you talk to the handset? Sometimes your voice is not clear.
Yeah, sure. Is it clear now? Please, I was using handset only. Hello.
Much better, sir. Thank you.
Yes, Sandeep, it's much better.
Yeah. So my question, Krishna, is actually, you know, that unfortunately this industry has got into now, you know, poaching talent from one another, and this problem will, the actual solution to this problem lies when the workforce could be trained in abundant number to, you know, cool down this attrition and all these challenges. So where do you see things improving going forward, and how much time it will take? Because I don't see concern on growth, but I definitely see concern on growth led by supply side, number one. And if even if you are able to execute, it may hurt your margins in near term for 2-3 quarters. So what is the solution in your view, and how do you see the situation? Thanks, that's all from my side.
Thanks, Sandeep. I think that's a very relevant question and a very pertinent set of observations. You're right. I think the challenge that we face is more the supply side challenge than the demand side challenge at the moment. And also in much of our businesses, you know, we do need to increase or we do need to train people. We need to get them ready and so on and so forth. So it has been a supply side challenge. The demand is there. The demand also, if you look at it, you know, we've also been quite aggressive about how we manage bench and the utilization. And of course, we don't have the scale of some of the larger companies where, you know, even a 2% slack for them turns out to be many thousands of people, whereas for us, 2% is not a very large number, and then you start getting into skills, et cetera, it becomes a challenge. So one is, you know, the demand is there, and we are also facing a fairly significant demand. So we've had to make some choices on what demand we will service and what we don't, given the capacity and the capability that we have. Now, so that's one part. So that's why I say with confidence that from Q2 onwards, things will look, you know, much stronger for a couple of reasons. First is, I think, you know, the getting people on board and getting people into the company and getting them ready, etc. We've done a lot of work in Q1. And again, because of what happened in April and May, we got derailed a little bit at the beginning of the quarter, given that all the resources, including HR leadership, were focused on the COVID-related issues. Almost 10% of our staff had COVID at some point. And we've dealt with it right now. You know, we're touch wood and thank God we're less than a few people with COVID, which I'm sure will get resolved. So one is we've onboarded and we've been quite prudent at onboarding people, which is now helping address the demand. The second thing is the supply is the freshers, right? I mean, that's a big part of the supply base. That's a big part of what is available in India. And if you look at it now, also what has happened is the supply base got delayed, given that exams got postponed and all that has been happening. The supply base got a little bit delayed. So what we're seeing is we've onboarded a number of freshers. I think we've onboarded almost 600 freshers in June. It will take a month or two to get them prepared. Again, they won't be useful for all the demand, but at least for much of the demand that we have, they can be trained over a month or two to at least start to get productive. So that's the second part of this equation is, you know, between last year and this year, given that freshers are available essentially in May, June timeframe, that demand has come. In our case, 600 people. We'll onboard another, I think, 500 or 600 in this coming quarter in Q2. But overall, as a country, you know, 500,000 people are available, which will also help address the supply side challenge. So it's a combination of these two things. I think from a lateral hiring, we're much better prepared. We've been able to onboard the resources. They're getting productive. And like I said, June was a very, very strong month, which will continue. And the freshers will now become available in the next couple of months, which will also go a long way in addressing the supply side challenge. But I'll say, I think, thank you for pointing out that the demand is there. That's not the problem. It's really the supply that we need to be aware of or address.
So, Krishna, if you allow me to ask one more question, I would like to ask another question on the same line. So, is there a way we can, you know, analyze that, let's say, if we would have, you know, continued with our nominal bench, which we generally maintain, assuming that this pandemic, taking a risk that, you know, we would be overstaffed for some time, and today, the challenge which we have taken or the hit which we are going to take on the execution or, you know, taking the orders, what would have been the trade-off between them? Or in an indirect way that, you know, if you would have the resources right now, ready resources, you would have how much of market share gain we would have made. Have we done such kind of exercise? The objective of asking this question is not that, you know, we have done something wrong, because the whole, it was completely unpredictable for all the companies and everyone has run thin benches in last 12 months. But the objective of asking this question is primarily to know that is there a real loss of revenue which has happened to this whole industry because of this panic that, you know, global economy will collapse and IT will or the software services will also collapse when the world was able to see that the only thing which was running the world was technology. So that is what I want to know.
See, I think I'll let Karthik add to it, but I'll say prima facie there was about $3 million of revenue that we lost just because of supply side constraints, some of it in DLM, some of it in services and various reasons. So the $3 million, actually the $3 million was even with the current capacity without having that additional bench, right? That is, you know, this was lost because people had COVID or we couldn't get parts or, you know, whatever that reason was. So I'd say bench baseline, there was $3 million that I can think of. Karthik, do you think there would have been more if we had a bench?
No, I don't think so, Krishna. I think the reasons were two things, right? One, what we had supplied last year was more on the aerospace. What we are seeing the demand is on the non-aerospace. The second element also is more demand is coming on the digital side and where we really need to build up a lot of the skills. And due to the pandemic, I think if at all there is anything that has happened, the digital transformation has really accelerated, probably at least by 20% year on year, if not more. And how do you think we are able to really match up with the demand that is happening on the digital, whether it is about RPA or intelligent automation or Internet of Things or trying to integrate with cloud automation. I think a lot of things that we are really talking about, the skill set, full stack engineers, a lot of them that are required in demand today were not there 1 year ago. So this is something where the demand definitely picked up in the last 4 months, and we are seeing the brunt of it, and anticipating that is the reason why we added about 400 plus net addition headcount in Q1, and we are continuing to look for both lateral as well as hire, train and deploy model. And how do you think we are able to really use both of them to help in meeting the demand?
Okay, thanks a lot, Karthik. Thanks a lot, and thanks, Krishna. Best of luck for the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandeep.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. The next question is from the line of Sandeep Shah from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. It's good to understand the impact because of the supply side issue, but curious to know that some of your peers in the engineering R&D sector has actually been growing anywhere between 3 to 6%, while we have a flattish kind of a services revenue growth with a $3 million kind of an impact, which could be split between service and DLS. So I just wanted to understand what nature of demand which we tap, which has impacted us despite work from home, versus the other peers has not seen a bigger impact as a whole.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Sandeep, for the question. I think we are, as I mentioned in the previous question, I think we are seeing the demand across the board. We definitely have a significant demand coming on the digital, and digital is about 3-4 key areas, whether it is about asset management, Industry 4.0, mobile workforce management, how do you think we can do some system integration projects. I think these are the ones which are required as part of the digital. The second one is about embedded software and applications. I think this is another one which definitely has the highest demand, and followed by semiconductors, and probably this segment would see continued growth for the next 2-3 years, driven by 5G, artificial intelligence, and some of the new silicon that need to be designed for edge compute. I think all of them would require a significant amount of R&D spent, and that is what is coming to us. But again, the semiconductors also have a supply challenge, because there are limited population available in India, so this need to be created, or you really need to have a mechanism to look at onboarding from other geographies beyond India, including Eastern Europe or Southeast Asia. So you need to really look at alternate options to explore how do you think we can meet the growing demand on the semiconductor side. And followed by the network side, where we definitely see a solid demand on the network side, and both on the intelligent network design as well as on the network technology transformation side. And that is something we are fairly comfortable about what we have done in the last 1 year. So we are prepared for it. We know how to really address that. But the real issues are about the digital and the semiconductor side. How do you think we are able to address the demand that is coming on those two areas, two skill sets?
If I may just add, Sandeep, I would say that, you know, whatever we said is more specific to the one-offs in the quarter one. When we are saying that we are confident of a double-digit growth, we have also done extensive exercise to look at both the demand and the supply side. And at the end of it, and that has been the learning, right? So far, we would not spend so much time. And if you look at our pipeline, one is on the demand side. I think Krishna already spoke about it. Karthik mentioned in his presentation. Even on the supply side, our pipeline is the best ever. I think that's what it is. So I would say quarter one has been a one-off. And going forward, you would see whatever is needed for that double-digit growth will come to fulfill the demand, as well as, we will overcome those supply challenges. If at all, I think other things could be upside to it. Right? So I just wanted to add to what Karthik said.
So is it fair to assume that it was not because of the employee infection which impacted the growth, it was actually the scarcity of the talent on the digital side which impacted your growth? And if you believe that this revenue is not a loss, it will come back, and that's where you are not changing your whole year growth guidance, what gives you a confidence that what you have faced in 1Q will not be a challenge in 2Q, 3Q and 4Q as a whole?
See, first is Sandeep, I think the quarter one is more or less in line with what we had anticipated, right? If you were looking at very strong growth, it was, you know, in quarter two, quarter three, quarter four. Whatever $3 million loss Krishna is talking about, I think we definitely had, you know, higher number of employees that were infected. Good thing is, I think all of them have recovered, and as June we are absolutely back to normal. We had some challenges on the pipeline of the manpower, and we also had some issues on the parts. But I think all that wave two impact has settled completely, and I would say we are back to business as usual in June itself. And that's how we are saying that, you know, some of it was already built in. Even if you add $3 million to our quarter one growth, still we are looking at a flatter thing. This is the portfolio of the businesses that we have, and based on that, this is how we plan. Krishna, you
know. Yeah, no, I'll just actually, you know, take the $3 million as base case. That was anticipated. That was more the reason why we lost the $3 million was because people were not available, etc. But okay, that $3 million is still a small number, right? And we are anticipating, if you look at the, if we are holding the forecast for the rest of the year, the growth will have to be much more than that. And that's because, you know, to Karthik's earlier point, what was earlier skill sets in areas like mechanical engineering for aerospace are now becoming more the digital skills of semiconductor. And making that switch has taken a little bit of time. And has taken a little bit of time. I mean, if honestly, if all the growth had come back in aerospace in the same manner that we had faced last year, things would have looked very different. And also, I want to say that, look, if you look at the way that we're looking at the business, all the commentary is still based on aerospace remaining a U-shaped recovery, and that we're still at the bottom of the U, at least through most of the rest of the year, right? I mean, we're seeing some slow growth, like Karthik said, 2-3%, but nothing significant. So we are able to recover reasonably well in spite of aerospace, which has been the biggest business, still being at the bottom. But, you know, leave the mathematics aside, the bigger challenges, the skills that we have in aerospace were quite specialized. So we've rebuilt the business, and the reason why we're saying that, you know, okay, the $3 million was based on what was there, but what could be is because we've built the newer skills, and that's where there is also a lot of demand.
Okay, fair enough. And just follow-up questions. If I look at 10% growth in services, the compounded Q1Q ask rate would be close to 4% for the next three quarters. And generally, December quarter is seasonally soft for engineering R&D. So that means we may have to do a heavy lifting in the second quarter, where growth could be close to a high single digit. So is it a fair way of directionally one can model and you believe that is possible, where 1Q postponement of growth plus the 2Q growth will help you to post a better number, strong number in the 2Q itself?
Yes, absolutely. I think that is fair. And also, but I'll say the other thing is, see, that hypothesis that Q3 was soft was when the on-site business was much larger. And also where, you know, things like work from home weren't really working, right? Because if you look at it, our offshoring has again increased this quarter. And actually the offshoring part, because in India, Q3 is not that bad. Of course, we have Dashera, Diwali holidays, and New Year's, etc. But it's not so bad. The challenge used to be when a large portion of our aerospace business was also U.S.-centric for various reasons. That's when it became a big challenge. So, but you know, both, one is, you know, Q3 is a little bit of a less of a challenge as we see it this year because of these reasons, more offshoring and so on and so forth. At the same time, your hypothesis or your assumption is right that a lot of the heavy lifting has to happen in Q4 and a bit in, in Q2 and a bit in Q4, because Q3, we still don't know. That's at least the, you know, last year we had a better, last Q3 was better than Q2, but of course it was an extraordinary year.
Okay, and just the last question, Krishna. I think it's good to see that third consecutive quarter of a good large deal in TCV. But if you look at last two quarters, the TCV has been $70 to $90 million. While in this quarter, it used close to be of $50 million. With number of deals are also getting lower. it's more to do where decision making also got postponed from the client side on the deal closures because of the COVID, or it's more aberration and may actually come back or improve going forward as well?
Sandeep, I would say that I think we kind of even guided earlier, we are just building the large deal factory, and how do you think we are able to compete and win more higher or larger size deals than what we have participated in the past. I think this is going to see some up and down as we start building it up, and we said this will take about 4 to 6 quarters for us to build a factory. That's a concept that we laid out in terms of how do we make a large deals to be built as a factory, which can generate probably 5 to 7 deals every quarter. I think this is going to be a journey that we are into, and probably we'll start building that up over the next 2-3 quarters, and we'll keep you posted on how we make progress on it. I would say in the last 2-3 quarters has been good for us, and we are continuing to build the momentum with our customers, the top 30 customers, and also with the sales training, sales transformation has been undergoing. We also brought on a few advisors that will help us to connect with CXOs, and we also launched some of the technology solutions, and that would really help us to drive. And we also looked at 5 pillars as a growth theme for us, and whether it is digital, embedded software, semiconductors, and networks, and geospatial, we said these are the 5 pillars that we are going to bet on as our growth engines. So by putting all of them together, and we believe that we have a great story and differentiated story that can help us to drive this growth in the next 2-3 quarters.
Okay, thanks, fair enough, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Mohit Jain from Anand Rathi Shares and Stock. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. One is on the order intake. Like, even if, so if you see the split between DLM and services, DLM clearly shows the kind of uptake we have seen in revenues and the kind of commentary you guys are guiding for in terms of 20% growth. But services over a longer horizon, like if even if you take 12 months period and then do it over the last 2 years, there is no uptake which is visible on the order intake. Even excluding the large deals, like this is the total order intake. So what is happening there, and when should you or when should we expect this order intake to start reflecting the kind of trend you are seeing in the industry?
I would say it takes about 1 to 2 quarters for it to start showing up, Mohit. And to give an example, we announced a large deal on HMLR, and this is starting to ramp up in this quarter. And in some cases, it may happen in one quarter. In some, it may take 2 to 3 quarters. And the key thing that we are really highlighting here is, as compared to the last year, I think the way we are seeing that is the order intake plus order backlog that gives us the confidence for the rest of the year. And the second element is converting that into revenue, where you go through a supply transition and then into a revenue. So how do you think you are able to transit into the revenue is where it takes some time. And sometimes it is customer driven, where customer have aligned us to be the winner to execute the project, but they may have some budget constraint and they may start up 1 or 2 quarters down the line. So that may have some delays. But otherwise, we expect probably 70 to 80% of the order intake should get executed within this financial year.
Order backlog is something which we don't get, right? Or can you share some numbers there?
No, we don't. We don't share order backlog numbers. If you look at compared to last year, right, where the services order intake has increased 20% plus or actually 21%. And also, yeah, I mean, compared to Q4, it's down, but that's because Q4 is always a difficult quarter for us and so on. So I would say, you know, that the backlog is there. Intake has been reasonably good, I think, because also what has happened with some of these order intake numbers is the aerospace backlog would have also gotten cancelled, right? So it has to, this is the net order intake that we're reporting, which means that, you know, if you look at aerospace, where we've lost almost, $80 million or so of revenue this year, a lot of that order was in place because aerospace orders would have also come in Q4 of the previous year for last year. So this is a little bit subdued because this is the net number. This is not the gross number. And we also take into account the cancellations. And therefore, I want to assure you that the intake is good. I mean, to support the numbers that we're talking about, there is enough order intake and order backlog as a result.
So when you say net, if there is an order in Q1 2021, and you accounted for it, let's say $100 million back then, and it gets canceled, so you actually report that today's number, 120, is net of that cancellation?
Yeah, it is net of that calculation, yes.
Because we will not reach at the past numbers, right? This is order intake for the quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So it's like a P&L rather than a balance sheet.
Understood. And second was, there's this headcount growth, which I think, of course, is in anticipation of a strong second half. But attrition is also slightly uncomfortable at 23%-24%. So, and you guys are saying that wage hikes are already done with for the year. Or are you looking at one more round, maybe in the second half or something? Is there something which is planned? Because it was called merit-based, so is it not normal wage hike, or is it the wage hike which is done for the year?
No, we call it merit-based. It's the normal wage hike, but we've built in enough flexibility. If we have to make further corrections in the year, during the course of the year, we will. We're not gonna announce that because we'll only do it as and when required, and also for certain skills, because I think the reality of our business is also there's some pretty high-end skills, so we have to look at the skill and the demand in the market, et cetera. So, I'd say we have enough buffer built in, where if we have to do another wage hike, we will be able to absorb that. Now, the second thing is, yeah, attrition is a little bit higher, and I think it is something that we also struggle with, because there are, you know, there's some elements of our business where obviously it's high skills. It is also quite unique work that we do, where we can keep attrition under control. But there's also a fairly commoditized part of our business where attrition is quite high. So we're working on it. I mean, we've seen that it's come down a little bit, at least in June, and we think that it'll come closer to 20% in Q2. That's the number that we can still manage with, at least in the short term. So we're working on it. You're right, it is a little bit uncomfortable, to put it charitably, but we will work on it. I think we have a, you know, one is we just have to deal with it, and the second thing is we have a plan to continue to reduce it.
Krishna, if I can just add, I think our salary increases are spread over quarter one and quarter two. As I said earlier, that, you know, about two-thirds of it's already done, and you may say 50 basis points-70 basis points impact in quarter two as well. So total, it will be about 240 basis points-250 basis points for the year. Just want to put the clarification on that.
Ajay, one last question on Cyient design-led manufacturing metrics. In terms of direct salaries and the gross profit, it appears that some cost is sort of missed out in the presentation. So what is the direct EBITDA or gross profit number for DLM? I'm on slide number 20 of the annexure.
So I can just clarify the numbers, and we can do the reconciliation offline. Basically, our overall is about 6% margin for this particular quarter at a EBIT level, as I said in my presentation, 5.6%. And as far as the gross margin is concerned, that's around 14%-15%. So this definitely is a... Yes, yes, Mohit?
EBIT is 106 million, correct?
Yeah. Yes, correct.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Rest I'll take offline.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask the question. The next question is from the line of Mukul Garg from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. You know, I think, Krishna, this was something which, you know, which was discussed last quarter as well. You know, you guys have done a tremendous job on the margin side, especially on the services. The margin this quarter, you know, definitely was quite good. But if you look at your guidance, it continues to remain the same of about 200 basis point YOY improvement in FY 2022. While you just, you know, also mentioned that you have kept some buffer in case you need to do some, you know, adjustment in terms of workforce. But even after that, given especially the kind of impact you have seen in your overall margin profile in Q1, during a normal high wage hike cycle, it still leaves a lot of gap in between what you can deliver over next three quarters in both services and DLM, which are obviously coming off, you know, a low base in profitability point of view. and your guidance, you know, of about 200 basis point improvement. You know, if you can just help us understand why this continued conservatism last quarter. Obviously, the wave two impact was there, and everyone, there was a lack of clarity. But things seems to be much better right now, and it seems like you are the only one who is kind of keeping, you know, a potential wave three on the sidelines as a risk factor. If you can just help us understand and kind of reconcile this.
Okay, fair point. But I'll say, you know, next quarter we also have some additional costs that are coming in. For example, the ESOP scheme that was announced, you know, we'll start accounting for it. There's about a 50 basis points impact that we will have next quarter because of the new ESOP scheme. So, you know, I'll say just being, again, I wouldn't say conservative yet. I would say a bit prudent because obviously there is still a lot of uncertainty. One is there's these known costs. The ESOP will hit us by 50 basis points. There's again a salary increase we'll have to make up, et cetera. Again, we're quite confident that the margin won't dip, that we'll see actually a little bit of growth in Q2 also. But I think it's good to be prudent at this point. I mean, third wave is one potential thing, but there's also, I still feel there are enough unknowns because till we really get back to the growth, because it's a trade-off between growth and margin. I would be a lot more comfortable when we start to get back to the growth of Q4 and Q3 of last year, you know, when we were 3-4% quarter on quarter. Once we start get back to that, maintain this margin, I think it'll be more prudent to say that, you know, the margin will be more than 200 basis points better this year. Yes, there are empirically the evidence would suggest that we should do better than that, but I would just err on the side of prudence before committing to it, just because of ESOP. There's still uncertainty. You know, third wave or not is debatable, but, you know, it's not just the third wave, it's various elements. So I would say taking a combination of those, before I put my sort of credibility out and say it'll be much more than 200, I would still stick to that for one more quarter before hopefully having you know, a better understanding.
Right. No, that's fair. A different way to kind of, you know, kind of look at this is also that, would you be comfortable, you know, investing or kind of letting go of some profitability in case, you get a large order? Your guidance already implies a very meaningful pickup over next three quarters. You know, is that something which is baking in some impact in terms of deal-specific margin hit? Or, you know, can there be something which can really help you beat this meaningfully if you just, you know, take a little bit more flexibility on profitability?
So I'd say on deal-specific, I wouldn't go as far as saying we would trade off margin for, you know, revenue on any deal, because it does, recovering from that is a very, very difficult situation and something that we faced over the last couple of years where we had to go through season cure and stop working with some of the accounts and so on and so forth. Where we do have a fairly aggressive investment plan. This is proactive investments. These are things like technology. These are things like more salespeople, etc. I would say I'm quite sort of bullish on investing in those areas as investments, rather than saying that we will trade off the margin for revenue, because that's a one-way street. You'll never be able to recover the margin. And sometime in the next, you know, X number of years, we'll just have the seas of pure conversation again. So, yes, we do have a fairly aggressive investment plan that we will also follow. And therefore, I'll say, you know, the margins are not going to get that much better, because we are going to do, you know, we are going to invest ESOPs and so on and so forth.
If I may just add, if you remember our street, you know, the quarter four guidance, we had talked about these investments, what Krishna said, and quarter one, not much of it has fructified. So definitely we are looking at somewhere between 100 to 200 basis points of these investments, depending on how the progress happens and linking to some of the benefits and other things.
Great. No, that's really helpful. Thanks for taking my question.
Thank you very much. As there are no further questions, I will now hand the conference over to Mr. Krishna Bodanapu for closing comments.
Thank you very much. I will once again say thank you for the support and thank you for the confidence in Cyient. We anticipated what was going to happen. Obviously, on revenue, it's a little bit slower than what we would have liked, but of course, that was part of, as I explained it, there was a good reason for it and an anticipated reason for it. On margin, we're doing well. That gives us a lot of pride that we are, and again, I don't want to say we are at the end state. We are, it's a journey, and I think we're making good progress in the journey. And we'll continue to make that margin progress, and that's very important because all the growth now will come on much better cost structures. We will continue to make investments, of course, prudent investments on technology, on sales, on client-facing aspects. So all that will continue. And I just want to say that the road ahead looks much better than the road behind, especially if you take into account what had happened in the same quarter last year. So if we take all that into account, I think we are very, very well positioned to have some good growth on a very good base with some good metrics along with that. And lastly, I'll say to compliment the Cyient team, especially on the BCP, the business continuity teams and the HR teams, they did a phenomenal job when the going was tough, which gives me a lot of pride to say that, look, if we have gone through tough situations, both business situations in the last 2 years, and of course the COVID situation last year and then again this quarter. And we've come out very, very strongly, which gives me confidence to say fundamentally there is a lot of pride, there's a lot of confidence in the business, and we're well set up to overcome anything that comes our way. So thank you once again for the support, and I'll hand it back to the moderator.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Cyient Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.